Good morning to the, or almost afternoon to the commissioners. So Bobby Childers, Moore County Clerk. My office has been fairly busy since we had a off-time election. We don't normally have a November in an odd year. So we had that, and the 22nd's my last day to get all my reports in, and those are already in. We had had AOC where I went and we talked about all the cybersecurity pieces. I'm working on a security plan right now. And they've gotten to the point where it used to be 60 questions. Last year it was 90 questions, and this year it's 103. And it all goes into how we do IT information, how we're keeping all that stuff safe. So I have to work hand in hand with our IT. I'm taking Jordan to, in February we have a tabletop exercise for cybersecurity, and I've gotten him to go with us to that, and it's that way he sees all the things that are coming from Homeland Security. We have a, through my office, we keep a piece on our systems that anytime there's a threat of harm, we get notified from Washington, D.C. There's people on it all the time. We have been updating all the boards and the city positions, looking at coming into May and November of our even year. Right now, we've been working on, you know, when he was talking about change is hard. So we have, in 05, we created the voting registration system we're working in currently. We are building a new system. So it is not going well. So we were supposed to be doing the general election with this new system. It's not happening. We're going to use our old system because we don't want to have failure. So I did bring something for you all to have that we might look at in our, how we do things in our offices. During the November election, three or four counties in Oregon got these letters in the mail, and they had fentanyl in them. So we are being directed, and Homeland Security got in on it, so I've got some things here from them. But what is happening is people are unhappy with elections. They, you know, whatever it is they want. So they're sending things out to us, and now we have to worry about our people when they open their mail. It, you know, remember when they had the anthrax? Well, so we've got a kind of a protocol on what you can do. You know, wash your hands immediately. I reached out to our health department, and she was great. She got me some Narcon, because, or is it Narcon? Narcan. So if one of my people came into contact with it, we would at least have that available to us. But that could be any of our departments. But elections tend to be, you know, we're the unhappy stepchild right now with everything. So anyway, there's some information here on, you know, the highlights. They're just trying to disrupt it. So if they can shut down an office. So Lane County, Multnomah County, they got hit because they want to shut them down. And normally we wouldn't have an election, but we did. So it's just bad players wanting to change the outcomes, shut us down, not get out things out to the people.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any talk at the state level about going back to, I mean, you wouldn't have to have Narcon if you had walk-in elections, show your ID, and vote. the day of the election. Any talk whatsoever?
No.
No movement that way whatsoever?
No. So I know it's not popular with a lot of people, but I will tell you that so in my last election, I just sent my billing to the state, or, you know, my election day report telling you what it costs. So right now, election per eligible voter was $1.21. So ballots cast, it was $3.75. If we were to go to, like you're talking, a polling place, I don't know that I would feel the security and the safety, and then you have the problems with, so you've got to have highly trained people knowing what is, because you're going to have a lot more people handling those ballots when you get into a polling place. And if we went to a polling place, it would more likely be ENRs. You'd just be doing it on a direct piece that you push it in and then give me a slip, more than like, because those are much quicker and easier than paper. And if I had to go to a polling place, can we do it? Sure. But then you're...
It doesn't look like it's in the future, though, does it?
Well, you're still... over 80% would end up being mail-in ballots, because most people don't want to do it. We like conveniences. Well, we like
right.
to
they
do things at home.
The absentee.
Yes, you would still have it. So we'd still end up with... And that's where those people get into trouble, because they have... both. So then they can throw dirt at one process or the other. So it's I don't see it changing ever. And it could. I mean, the vote of the people could get it changed if that's something they wanted to do. But I will say that our precincts, our boardman, Irrigan, they're coming up. They were 26%. Irrigan was 22.9. Lex was 45%. Ione was 47%. And Heppner was 49%. And, you know, this the health district bond to keep running is near and dear to most people's hearts. So, you know, we were 32.17% of the people voted. But I am seeing an uptick. You know, we have a lot more people registered in Boardman and Irrigan than we do on the other side of the county. The other side of the county, if everybody voted on this side and everybody voted on the other side, this side would carry. They're all three cities, all precincts over on the south, and don't overtake these, but the south end vote. So, and that's, you know, we're just keeping busy.
All right, any questions about it?
Mm-hmm. No. So I guess overall there's about 7,000 registered voters, roughly.
In the election day report from our November 7th election, we had 7,128 eligible. And that's after, so that is after we've mailed ballots and we get ballots back that are undeliverable. So, and one thing about this November election, it'll have us cleaned up for May. You always lose a certain amount, people move and don't let you know. And so, yeah, so, well, there were... in Boardman, there were 2,251 eligible. Irrigan, 2,590. Lexington, 430. Ione, 477. And Heppner, 1380. So, this is the first time we ever had an envelope come back empty. That threw us off a little bit. Because, you know, then you have to say, well, how come you don't have the right amount of ballots? Because you have an envelope, so that counts when it comes into the system, but then, you know, you're short a ballot. So, no, we didn't throw it away. So, anyway. Thank you for...
That messes with the system more than fentanyl, maybe, huh?
In my mind, yeah, because I have this asterisk here that says, hey. And what I'm sorry, this still always gets my... I just don't understand. Four people sent back blank ballots. I mean, why would you... I don't get it. I don't understand why you would ever send a ballot back empty. Yeah, it shows that you cast a ballot. But, you know, to me, that just seems wrong. That's me.
None of the above is an option.
No, it's... Well, we won't even go there. That's kind of that ranked choice voting. We've been doing a lot with that, and I'm not a proponent. Winners win, losers lose. It works for me.
Okay, thanks, Molly.
Thanks.
Next up is parole probation semi-annual report. Judy Wilson.
I'll just email you this piece.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next.
Thanks, Kobe. Good morning, almost afternoon.
Good morning.
Okay, so we have several updates for you and parole and probation. Sorry. I have to squint up my paper. Did not bring my glasses. So Dan retired in August, and I was promoted in September. It has been a challenge, but it's been a fun challenge. When I was placed into my position, I had about 2 weeks to try and figure out the budget. I did file an extension so I could figure that out and get some help from my community partners and from people within the state. That has been completed, and let's see. I believe it's currently in review. I didn't check that this morning to see if I could update you guys further. No, thank you. I appreciate it. So that is currently being in review. With that being said, I did file for new funds that have always been available to Morrow County. This is the second time that we have got a hold of these funds. That application is currently being in review as well. It's for $53,000. So an IGA will come with that depending on the outcome of that application. I am putting those funds to help with the rising cost of jail beds. They have significantly grown throughout the last couple of years. We were just awarded our Justice Reinvestment Grant that did go through. That's been in the process for the last 6 months. The only thing new with that would be the victim service piece, and we are now splitting it between Mount Emily and domestic violence. Other than that, Curtis Harper is now the lead PO. He is doing a great job at stepping up to the plate. We have filled the vacant PO position, and we are taking Andrea Costa Garcia from dispatch. She will be a huge asset to parole and probation. She's bilingual, and we have a lot of clientele that are Spanish-speaking only, so she will help fill that role very well. And she starts January 2nd, I believe. We hired support staff, Arena Resix, in August, and she's trilingual. She speaks Ukraine, Russian, and English, and she is catching on to the state system very well with little help. She keeps us in line. She is the reads the manuals very thoroughly and will explain to us how to even do things. We do have a vacant position. That's the work crew supervisor. As far as I know, there's been little to zero interest with that position. So Jess and I have been having some people that reach out, come and do office work. We had a gal in there until about 11 o'clock cleaning today. So that's still a struggle. Other than that, program updates, we have 111 individuals on our caseload. 75 of those individuals are high to medium risk offenders. We are involved in treatment court. Curtis is assigned to that program, and we've been involved since 2019, in case you guys were not aware. We have had two successful clients graduate, and one currently in the program with one pending acceptance and sentencing within the court. Treatment court is a lengthy program. It's 19 months long at a minimum. Very intensive. It's like having a full-time job. Other than that, things that we have been doing differently, our sex offender treatment provider has been coming to our office weekly, and they've been providing in-house treatment on Wednesday afternoons. It has been awesome to work with the treatment provider and the client. It's better for us to case manage and addressing any risk factors together rather than separately. We are trying to incorporate some type of a group treatment in our office with that same treatment provider, and trying to incorporate some type of a book club. We haven't decided on a book, but something where offenders can read within a certain amount of time and relay back and discuss during our group meetings, which that hasn't been set up, but we're hopeful at the beginning of the year we'll do that. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else for you guys. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Appreciate the report very much. It's good to hear from you on what you're doing. Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you for being patient with me while I learn my new role.
Oh, no. So you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Next up is our public health department report, Robin.
Good morning.
Hey.
Still barely morning. Robin Kennedy, Moore County Public Health Director. Just giving you a quarterly update. And I have my glasses, but they just broke, so hopefully the lens doesn't fall. If it does, I'll be the comedy of the hour.
We'll start packing a whole range of reading glasses for our
I just noticed that, and I was like, oh boy, just my luck, a lens will fall out. So if that happens, then we'll all get a chuckle. Anyway, I just wanted to update you from last quarter that we're still involved in the school-based health center over in Ione. Our immunization program, we just had a site visit in November for, we're a vaccine for children provider, so a VFC provider, and we've been one for quite some time, but they do site visits from time to time. They visited all three of our locations, and we had a couple of corrective actions, which were easy, just record keeping and reorganizing our refrigerator, and we were able to correct those very easily. Even after the pandemic and all the staff changes that we've had, things were just kind of out of order, so they just got us back in line, so that's good. We're offering still childhood and adolescent vaccines and most adult vaccines during our clinic hours, which are listed there, and they're also on the website. We still have seasonal flu vaccine and COVID vaccine available for ages 6 months and older. I do have an update on the RSV vaccine. We ordered it and it was back ordered, but it actually just arrived yesterday. And what we received is the childhood RSV that's supplied by the state, and we only got 5 doses. So we're very limited, but physicians can refer kids that are at high risk, or parents that have a child that's high risk are welcome to come in and we can give them the RSV vaccine. So that's some new news. And then I just listed, just for those dates for the quarter, how many flu shots and COVID shots we've given through our department, which I think has been pretty good. Again, our clinic dates are listed, or times are listed there, dates and times. Update on the nitrate and clean water. We continue to work with OHA, DHS, Umatilla County, Morrill County Planning Department on getting the Morrill County domestic well owners that reside in the Lavwama tested for nitrates and make sure they have clean drinking water, via deliveries, treatment systems, depending on where their nitrate level is. And so our big push of getting everybody tested and going door to door is done, but we still continue the work. So right now, citizens are still able to get their wells tested. It's by appointment now, so they can call the 211 number, or they can go to the website testmywell.oregon.gov. They can also just go to the OHA website and navigate through there. And Anna Pinheiro, my staff, that's kind of everything nitrates. We participate in leadership meetings every other week, which are helpful and keep us in touch with the state folks and moving forward. And below are some just updates from the OHA website on where we're at. And I just looked on their website as of December 10th. They've made just a few updates. So still the well testing vouchers that have been delivered to Morrill County is still 528. But the tests completed is now 469, so that's gone up by three. The water deliveries, people receiving water deliveries, is still the same number, and we now have 45 treatment systems installed. So we're slowly getting more of the treatment systems.
Because we do it now, the contractor? Has that been the big push on that?
Yeah.
Because we weren't getting those installed because we didn't have a contractor for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, so. That's been helpful.
So now that we have a contractor, that number should continue to go up?
Yeah, hopefully. Okay. Yeah. I think it's a process, but yeah.
On the treatment systems.
Yeah.
Is that... can you give me a little idea of what's been mostly installed? Are those in-house under same? What are the, what kind
yeah,
of
the
systems?
Reverse osmosis yeah, okay. systems. Yeah, yeah, just okay. the certified, the ones that are certified.
Are they, are you like doing all the same for any place you put in a treatment? It's the same kind of apparatus?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay. And the contractors
are helping with the follow-up as far as the filters being changed yeah. and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Yeah, so that's why it's quite a process.
Yeah.
But hopefully those numbers will continue to go up. And we've had several calls of people that are receiving the water deliveries having issues. You know, some of them get... as far as we know, everybody's getting the amount of water that they need. And if people don't feel like they're getting the amount of water they need, they're welcome to call us because we can make arrangements to get them more water if that's what they need. So we've had several calls regarding that, and then several calls regarding people having trouble with the weight of the water container, lifting them up and so on, because they're heavy. But there is... some opportunity to get dispensers for people, so we've had some calls for those, so that's helpful, especially for some elderly folks.
And these new dispensers are actually a top load dispenser, so they don't have to pick the
thing up.
So it just sits on the floor and they can put a hose in it, which takes it out and feeds
it. Like the head at the AOC building.
Yes, yeah, so they're different than having to turn it upside down and physically lift it up, so it's a huge progress.
For
the beer keg?
Dave,
bring it down to relatable. Yeah.
You're not that heavy.
Wow, this took a turn.
Delivering to people. I'm going to get on the list.
Right. Oh, man. Could you imagine the fraternities?
It's in the water.
It's a good thing we're in a college town. That would be really popular. Okay. So under our family planning services, 26 is what we serve during the quarter. And we continue to contract with Amanda Roy. We have dates set up for January and February, and those are filling up already. So that's really awesome to see and be able to help those folks. The Oregon Mother's Care, I just gave an update that WIC is in our building, and we're still, we're really limited with any home visiting services that we can offer just because of our shortage of nurses. So hopefully, I have some conversation about staffing and recruitment, but that's where we're at with that. Environmental health, we were working with just recently with Umatilla County and Emergency Management and the City of Ione to restore clean drinking water there. And I have good news. On the 15th of December, the boil water advisory in Ione was lifted. So that's good news. They did a chlorination process of their systems and got everything back in order. So that's where that is. I did attach some of our stats for communicable disease. I don't know if I've attached those before, but just so you can see some of the things that we deal with within our county and the number of communicable diseases that we have to report on and kind of follow up on and stuff, so it keeps us pretty busy.
Just a curiosity, what's the layman's term for that second one? Maybe I should, it's common, I should know that. So the one where we got, you know, like double digits, I know what the other one is, but like, what is that?
Are you talking about chlamydia?
Yeah,
do I have to say it out loud?
Sorry.
Sexually transmitted disease.
It's what we deal with, and if it's a sexually transmitted disease, if you need to know, that's really funny. Of all your questions, I didn't think that was going to be the one.
It's good that you don't know.
It is good that you don't know. Right. If you want any more details on that, we can talk later. Anyway.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good to have double digits of that number. You're right. So a lot of education and outreach has to be done there.
Okay.
Good thing our family planning services are bumping up. So, yeah. Anyway. We definitely try to keep that number down. In this quarter, I would have to blame it on Pendleton Roundup is why those numbers went up. just saying. We do actually see an influx during that time. So, yeah, that is what it is. I don't want more people want to work in my department. We're fun. We're lots of fun. All right. Any more questions on the communicable diseases?
Yeah, you know not to put it in there again.
Well, that question's been answered, so.
Yeah, it won't be asked again, hopefully. Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
So, public health emergency prepare. We just want to keep everybody awake. It's been a long meeting. So with emergency preparedness, we're working on updating our all hazards plan, which the one that we have is very complex and robust and not particularly user friendly. So we're trying to kind of make some updates there so that it's, so when there is an emergency, you know, we can know where to look and have some guidance. So we did complete our capabilities assessment and got that turned into the state. We have some limitations there, but we're working with them to try to be more capable to respond to emergencies. And moving along to our staffing, so as was kind of mentioned before, and you probably read in the packet, I'm in the process of contracting with a rural communications specialist, which is really, really exciting. This will be a position that's shared between four other rural counties. And as it's been mentioned a lot, our website is in need of updating. And I know on the public health side, our communications with the citizens of Morrill County and just outreach and stuff is in need of a lot of improving and could look better, which me and my staff don't really have the capability to do all that. And it's really time consuming. So this is really awesome that we're able to kind of tap into this service. And being shared with four other counties, that it'll be more cost effective for us than hiring somebody outright to do that work. So this person, I helped to interview her, and her name's Kate, and she's going to be based in Portland, but we'll have 1/5 of her time to help with some of our communications. So that's really exciting. And right now it's a 1.5-year contract to line up with the next biennium. And the counties that we're sharing her service with are Baker, Grant, Malheur, and Harney. So all rural, we all kind of have some of the same struggles. So we're really excited to have her on board. So be looking for some new messaging from the public health side that hopefully looks a lot better and up to date. So do you have questions about that? Okay, cool. Have the lay health promoter position that's been filled. That person will start in February. Looking forward to that. That will also help with some of our outreach and communications. And still looking for public health nurses. I do have some, as listed there, kind of some ideas for some outreach. And hopefully the communication specialist can kind of help with some of our outreach as well as far as recruiting nurses. I am planning on the spring to go to Eastern Oregon University. They have a career fair. So I've been invited to participate in that, so hopefully we have some good pamphlets to hand out and good advertising by then. That will be fun. And also I reached out to BMCC's nursing program. If they have a similar kind of career fair thing, I haven't heard back on that or have anything lined up with them yet, but I've been in contact. And I'm also updating a contract that we had with OHSU School of Nursing that I didn't even know was in place, but I was really excited to hear that it was. And that's for nursing students to come out and intern with our public health department and kind of see what public health is all about. Apparently we had some of them come and join us in the heat of the pandemic, and it was a really good experience. So hopefully they'll fall in love with public health and want to apply for some of our jobs. And those are some of my current job openings that are listed there. And that is all I have. Do you have any questions for me in public health? Any more juicy questions?
Pressure's on you, though. I got nowhere to go but up.
Right, exactly.
Oh, good. be careful on this one. So on the flu shots, you'd probably track how many you gave last year. Is that up, down? Are people shying away from it or jumping on board? Or is it about the same? Or what's the
deal? It's a little bit down.
Not so much
from
COVID,
last year.
But,
it's a little bit down from last year.
It's a little down.
Yeah. I don't have an exact number, but it's a little bit down from what we've. And I think just vaccine hesitancy across the board is
that's an
issue statewide. Yeah, it is a little bit lower.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up would be surveyor's annual report, Kenny. Matt?
Oh, good day. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Perfect. So, yes, my name is Matt Kenny, County Surveyor for Morrill County. I'm contracted by Morrill County to perform the duties of County Surveyor, which are mostly outlined in state statute. So I know the report that I provided and a lot of what I'll be commenting on today has got a lot of statutory references. So hopefully that doesn't bore too many people. The main duties, which encompass most of what I do on a yearly basis, are number 1, 2, and 3 as outlined in RS 20907. Number 1 is being able to keep a fair and correct record of all surveys. Number 2 is number progressively all the surveys received. And number 3 is provide a copy of any survey to any person or court requiring the same. So typically when folks perform a record of survey, you know, maybe somebody was just wanting their boundary resolved, they set some survey monuments, I'll see that survey, review it, check it for compliance with ORS, and then I file it and number it, and then put it up on our records database online, which is available for the public to see. And then we also have the hard copy records housed in the Connex behind the Lexington Public Works Department. So they're available both online and hard copy. I can say we haven't, I don't think since I've been county surveyor, we've had one person come in to look at the hard copy versions. So the online's pretty much used exclusively. So that's records of survey that fall into that number 1, 2, and 3 category. The others are what you guys see more often, which are partition plats, subdivisions, and even property line adjustments. All survey items that require filing. Partition plats are defined as 3 lots or less, or 3 parcels or less, whereas subdivisions are 4 or more. And so it's just the term and the method in which they are required to process those through the planning department. But those are submitted to me, and they undergo the same review process, a little bit more stringent on the partition subdivisions. Subdivisions, monuments have to be checked, those kinds of things. But ultimately, they get filed in the database just like all the others. Moving on in the duties, so that was 1 through 3. Like I say, that encompasses pretty much everything probably 90% of what I do on a regular basis, reviews and filings. Number four is make all surveys of legal subdivisions with reference to the current United States Manual of Surveying Instructions. So that document is provided by the Bureau of Land Management. It's just kind of a basis for surveyors for establishment and reestablishment of public land survey corners. That's just thrown in state statute to be consistent with government surveys. Number five is establish or reestablish and maintain all public land survey corners where evidence of the corners can be found and the corners can be positively located. And so I can say I work with local surveyors who send in maps for review on these public land survey corners. I have not done a project for the county, and I wouldn't without more discussion and board approval. That's something I'll discuss here in a little bit more in detail. But for private surveyors, when they submit maps and they touch on a public land survey corner, it's my job to work with them to verify that they're using the correct evidence and the correct procedures in locating that corner. Because all the land, you know, everybody that obtains property in Morrill County has a legal description that's going to be specified off a section corner, a public land corner somewhere. So these land corners are very important. They define how our land's described throughout the county. So having a good handle on those and working with those private surveyors is very important. And that's part of the review process that I provide as well. Number six in the duties, statutory duties, is establish or reestablish upon order of the county court or board of county commissioners all public land survey corners where all physical evidence is destroyed or cannot be found. That's something that we haven't gotten into. A lot of these public land survey corners, you know, they were set in the 1860s to 1900. A lot of these corners, especially in rural or urban areas, excuse me, have been destroyed by road construction and improvements and what have you. So if and when we ever entertain a public land survey contract, that'd probably be the road that we go down, where we'd seek board approval and we'd contract, go out for RFQ, RFP for a private firm to investigate and reestablish some of these corners. We haven't done that yet, but that's something I'd like to do maybe next year. And jumping right into it, in relation to that, is the Public Land Corner Fund. And so this comes directly from 203-148. The county governing body may establish by ordinance a fund to be known as the Public Land Corner Preservation Fund. Monies in the Public Land Corner Preservation Fund shall be used only to pay expenses incurred and authorized by the county surveyor in the establishment, reestablishment, and maintenance of corners of government surveys. So that's where our Public Land Corner Fund comes from. I don't know when it was established in Morrill County, but I know most counties, it's been around for a long time. It's for use in reestablishing these public land survey corners that are so important. For that purpose, you know, it's to protect the property owners and their property rights and everything that goes along with that. I know currently, I looked recently, I think we have a balance of $277,000 and change in there right now. And it's based upon fees that we receive from various record documents. So when the clerk gets documents recorded, certain documents, we get to collect a portion of those fees that fund this public land corner balance. I think it's, in the past 2 years, it's grown like $17,000 on average per year. So it grows, it doesn't grow very fast. And those public land survey contracts, I know I've talked to Umatilla County a number of times, they can cost upwards of $80,000 for one township. Which is a 6-mile by 6-mile area. And so you can envision all of Morrill County if you wanted to try to encompass restoring all those corners in all of Morrill County. It'd be a very time-consuming effort. And it's one we continue to battle, but funds are limited. You know, 277 seems like a lot, but with the cost, it really only gets us maybe three projects done. So I know Hettner, Lexington, and Ione have all had a corner restoration survey done. I don't think they were full surveys. They were partial surveys, meaning it wasn't a full 6 mile square. There might have been just 4 or 5 sections involved, but still, it gets everything in the city limits covered. And I think that's my goal next would be to get Boardman and Eargan covered and contracted hopefully sometime next year or the year after. Boardman and Eargan have an abundance of corner records. There's a lot more corners available up there. They've got a good history of surveys up there. The thing that would need to be resolved would be maybe the few that are duplicates. You know, sometimes you see there's been 2 corners set for the same position. The goal of a contract up there would be to eliminate all of that conflict and you know, be able to say, hey, this is the corner, this is the legal corner and the one we should use. And so that would benefit the public greatly for any private surveyor coming in. And so, you know, that's for later discussion. Maybe next year we can entertain the idea of opening a contract up to Boardman and Eargan. That's my goal. Any questions so far?
I have a question on that. So I know there's an excess of building fund permit. And is there any chance that that money could be used for that? I know it's got a real restriction on what that money
could be. I missed the first part of that. Sorry, my speaker must not be very good.
And I'm probably not speaking where I should be. I was looking at you. So I know there's an excess of building permit funds in the county. Is there any chance that any of that monies could be used? I know there's lots of
No. The public land corner fund is pretty much just isolated for public land corner purposes, so I don't know. As far as I know, that's the only fund available for funding these programs. But, you know, maybe we could look into that. Maybe there's other areas that you could pull funding from to assist, but I'm not aware of it.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So moving on, there were some questions not too long ago about signing plats and the county board's responsibility in that. And so I just wanted to highlight real quickly some of the statutes. They kind of outline the reasonings why you guys are seeing these plats come through on a regular basis and why you're having to sign these things. This is all contained in ORS 92, which is where most of subdivisions, partitions, property line adjustments, those things are contained. This is 92014, number 1. A person may not create a street or road for the purpose of subdividing or partitioning an area or tract of land without the approval of the city or county having jurisdiction over the area or tract of land to be subdivided or partitioned. So virtually what that's saying, you know, you see these plats that create 20 or 30 lots. You know, every lot needs public access, and so there's going to be a public road dedication contained within that plat, and it's required for these statutes that the underlying jurisdiction, if it's in the county, would be you guys to sign an approval of that road. So that's where that comes from. Plats within the city, those would be accepted by the city jurisdiction. So this goes on to number 2. An instrument dedicating land to public use may not be accepted for recording in the state unless the instrument bears approval of the city or county authorized by law to accept the dedication. So that's a general catch-all. So if there's a deed, somebody dedicates a public road, in a deed document, technically the county, and if it's in the county, the county is supposed to sign an approval of that. I can tell you that doesn't happen very often. It's hard to catch those. But when they can be, I know the few that I've done for public works, you know, in new public road dedications or establishments, we did one for Kilkenny Road not long ago, and we added that BOC authorization or acceptance on that document. So you probably don't see those very often, but when they do come through, that's what that is. Moving down to 92.1D, all subdivision plats must also be approved by the county assessor and the governing body of the county in which the property is located. So that's subdivisions only. It's talking about anything that's a subdivision must be approved by the Board of Commissioners. But then it goes on to say they may provide by ordinance for the approval of subdivision plats by the chairperson of the governing body, the vice chairperson of the governing body, or a person designated in lieu of the chairperson or vice chairperson. So there's some options there. If the BOC ever wanted to look at, you know, issuing an ordinance to that effect. But hopefully at least gives you a background on, you know, why that you're signing these plats on a regular basis. As far as partition plats go, those are not something you're going to see unless they have a public dedication. So if a partition plat dedicates a public road or a tract for public purposes and it's in the county, then you'll see it. Otherwise, you're not going to see a partition plat in front of you. So that's kind of the basis of all that. Sorry if I'm boring everyone. The gist of what I went through in the first three items, which were my first three duties, which were collecting and reviewing record of surveys, numbering them, and getting them up online for everybody to see. Coming back around to that, we've got the reviews and recordings that we've received this year. So far, I've seen 23 survey recordings, and I know that we've got a few more probably that are going to be filed before the end of the year. That includes 11 partition plats, 2 replats and or subdivisions, 5 property line adjustments, and then 5 standard survey filings. Again, each of those items go through the process of review and approval, sometimes monument checking, all those items that I discussed before. So I think that kind of wraps up what I had, unless you all have some questions for me.
Any questions, Roy?
Nope, he already answered mine.
Nope. I don't either. Thank you very much, Matt. We appreciate the report. It's good to
hear from you. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks. Okay, next up would be our Veteran Services Quarterly Report. Stephanie.
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Hello.
And I have glasses and they work, but that doesn't mean that I can read, so. This quarterly report was supposed to come in front of you in November. This is really based on July through September of this year. So we're kind of looking back a little bit, but this might not be new news to some of you, but there may be folks online who don't know me. My name is Stephanie Case. I'm the new Veteran Service Officer for Morrow County, started in July. And our department, first of all, thank you to Linda for 14 years of service to Morrow County veterans. I started in July, and we got an office assistant in August, Diana Strong. So really, a lot of July through September was spent doing trainings required by the state and other such things. But in the middle of this report, it lists some of the outreach and networking that we did during that period of time. So I really wanted to make this brief, come here, introduce myself for those who hadn't had a chance to meet me yet, let everybody know that our office is open Monday through Thursday here in Irrigan, and we are making appointments in Heppner currently. So in the future, we would like to do more set Heppner office hours. That's one of our future initiatives that we'd like to do, and collaborate with our partnering agencies and other organizations for services in Morrow County. And I just want to give you the opportunity, if you have any questions of me or anything else. Also with this is the required report for Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. I know in the past that's probably all that you had seen. So I wanted to do a more thorough report so you understand kind of what our department's doing and everything else. But if you have any questions on that, some of the numbers are probably going to be different than what you saw. For one, in-office interviews, we are open, our doors are open, so we are seeing more folks in office as opposed to out of office or over the phone. And some of our claims that were filed, some of those numbers are going to be pretty low just because I was just getting onboarded. We were in a transition period, but we did go out and did some outreach. The Heppner lunch site was probably the most successful during that period of time, and I appreciate Jerry for inviting me to do that. So, any questions?
Just comments. I think it's great that you're going to the outreach and going down there to meet the people where they are. And then another comment, I guess, more for these guys is, you know, I stopped in to congratulate her on her promotion shortly after, and she was training, and Linda was still there. And, well, I got ringed. She was disappointed in the board not reaching out to her. And, you know, as I told Stephanie then, you know, kind of my view is, and I think you two shared, is that if you need something, come see us. Otherwise, we're leaving you alone to do your job. Again, if you need something from us, don't hesitate to come let us know.
Yeah, and, you know, many of you know me, so, you know, I came from a department that we did see commissioners quite a bit. We saw administration quite a bit. I had heard Linda's frustration with that. We just got a short period of time working together before she left, so I hit the ground running. But, you know, I know who to reach out to, and I see a little bit of it. You know, I know earlier in the conversation with the assistant county administrator, you know, they talked about this department as kind of being an orphan department. One of the unfortunate things about this department is there are very few people that are going to understand the work that we do. When I came in, I had no idea, really. You know, I had this general idea of what this department did, but I've learned so much just in the 5 months that I've been here. It's much more than anybody could ever just think. And so I think just by way of what the work is, it's hard for people to come in and say, how can I help? Because they don't know what help they can provide. So thank you. I appreciate that. I will reach out if I need anything.
And I know one of the times that when I stopped in to visit with you that you said you're getting people that are coming over from, like, Umatilla County, too, which I think is great because somebody was closed or somebody couldn't help and they stopped in and you helped them. So I think that's great
right.
that you're serving anyone that comes in. And
correct. I think there was, you know, between staffing issues and then just really lack of availability. It is a lot for one person, one veteran service officer to handle. Currently, we have 750 on the Morrow County caseload, and that's living and deceased veterans. So we do assist families even after the veteran is deceased. A lot of folks did go to Umatilla County. So Morrow County residents were going to Umatilla County just because there's more availability for service. You know, they have two accredited veteran service officers over there. They have a veteran service officer assistant over there who, if he chooses to in 2 years, he could become accredited. That is one of our main focuses, is just making sure our doors are open and that we're here and available. So I hope that we're able to do that.
Absolutely. There's anything we can do to help.
Please. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you very
much.
We appreciate that.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, next up, planning department.
So I'm standing between you and lunch. At least Kevin and I are, so.
Have we been doing anything, Tamara?
So, if you, I don't have to speak unless you'd like
that's
to.
That's okay. No, we've been talking to you.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, that's
okay,
fine.
Thank you.
I feel like okay, accounts payable monthly written report, Kevin. And that's just our written report, so it's just thank you for that. Appreciate it. Okay, next up would be County Administrator update.
I just wanted to kind of, we've added this as an informal way just to add a few items that we're working on directly. Just to let you know, right now we have received and with Commission's approval, we reached out and offered employment for the deputy district attorney and the principal planner, that kind of 1-2 couple that were there. They have accepted that with the considerations that the commission had outlined, and their start dates will be December 15th, or January 15th, my apologies. So we're excited about having them come online. We have had an RFP out for a consulting group to do a strategic plan and come in and help facilitate that, do public outreach. The deadline for that was yesterday. We've received at least one, and I'm just going to go through my email and make sure if we've received any other applicants on that. So we'll be reviewing that in staff and having a report on the 3rd. Hoping to do that and kind of have a comprehensive look with the community. Just wanted to kind of do a little shout out to some of our retirements that we've had, and one that's coming up actually tomorrow. As you know, we don't have Roberta here. We have Valerie here. Roberta has retired, and Rhonda from HR both, you know, at least 9 years for Roberta, or 11 years for Roberta and 18 for Rhonda. And then we have Craig Gutierrez, who's retiring from the Public Works. He's leaving us tomorrow, and he has been with us for 30 years. And so just want to make a note of that and appreciate the dedication that we have in some of those employees. Circuit Court, we are finalizing the contract there. I've received the draft on that. We should be able to bring that before the commission on January 3rd. Once that happens, we'll be reaching out to some of the stakeholders, confirming space usage and the neighbors who are potentially impacted by the project. And so hopefully that'll all be happening in January, early February, as we finalize and get that going. Also, just a comment on the loop. As you might have seen in the Eastern Oregonian, we had a nice little article in there. We're working with Ben to get a soft launch of the Boardman port loop that'll be going through, and have that by the end of January. He's been working very closely with the port and with the Chamber of Commerce in Boardman. We did receive note that the Boardman City proper has, they've kind of felt like they've been on the outside of it, and so he and I are meeting with their city manager and right after Christmas, and get them up to speed and get them aware of that. These are all based on routes that were fleshed out with the different communities and that, but we want to make sure we have a touch with them before the soft launch goes. But we're excited about that. We just got the drivers and that all squared up to be able to run that loop, and we're excited to be able to offer that service, and hopefully we can see some success on that. So just a couple points that we wanted to bring up on the fly to let you know if people ask questions.
Well, thank you. Before we move on, I did want to tell Tamara, that was a good written report. I really enjoyed it. And I followed your links that you put in there. Thanks for doing that. the things on the river and everything, I still go back and revisit those. I did want to tell you there are some broken links on there on the water briefing page. So
we fixed us this morning. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, I just want to make sure.
Or somebody, Stephen fixed it.
But I like the way you link those. Those are pretty good. You get to, and the energy projects in Morrill County, that was where you put them all together in one spot. I don't think I've seen that before. Have you done that before?
We have. When I came back 3 years ago,
I'd probably be seeing it.
There were a lot to keep track of.
Yeah,
so
no.
That's the way we keep track of them.
No, that's very good. I like it. Thank you very much for that. Okay.
Thanks for
saying that. Next up would be our correspondence. A letter from the Irrigate City Manager. Lands currently under the CDA, so we have that. Commissioners, do you have any comments you want to make on that, or anything you want to do about this at this time, or just have a ticket under advisement, or what do you want to do?
Well, I think that, to me, it goes without saying that when we open up the enterprise zone, you know, they've talked about opening it up for some other areas, that we would include the CDA property in the enterprise zone, and that just naturally follows that it would be in the Irrigan area of influence on that.
Okay, and then the second letter, we have the Irrigan Rural Fire Protection District resolution on CDA lands. Any comments or anything on that one?
I guess, you know, as the CDA representative, I'm looking for input from you two on this. You know, the CDA is, you know, getting ready to adopt an agreement, an MOU with the provide for emergency services providers out there on this. You know, currently, the status is that Portman Fire would be the fire provider out there. On the southwest corner, the 640 acres on the north side was going to be in the Irrigan Fire Protection District.
So the stuff on 94 would be through the Boardman Fire, and then everything on the north end would be
here. The 648
is up there.
Would be
in the Irrigan influence.
Be annexed in. It would have to go through the process to get annexed into the Irrigan Fire District.
Now, the CDA talked about this at their last meeting.
About three meetings in a row it's been talked about. Papers that keep coming through, you know, there's corrections that need to be made.
Okay. I'm just trying to remember what the outcome of those discussions were, but okay. Okay, next up would be our commissioner reports. We'll start over here.
Starting on my side then.
Yep, cool. Starting left to right. Far left to right.
I've got a lot of stuff going on, but nothing that I can really report on as far as where we're going. Just that there's a lot of work in the LaGuama committee. And then I guess I should also say that after speaking with you, I think I'm going to be going to the Wolf Advisory Committee in Pendleton, the annual that Todd Nash was putting on. He reached out to me, and then I reached out, and we decided that maybe that's something that I'll take on. And going forward, I might just take over the advisory committee in Morrow County for the wolf deprivation. So, good for you.
Yeah, no, I think this is, I was appointed to that early on when I first came on the commission. Roy's a much better fit. He knows the Blue Mountains very well. He's a hunter, avid hunter. We had reserved two spots, and I got a note back from him that we have two spots reserved. Mm-hmm. So he's going to take Dean Robinson. This is just a good fit. I'm glad to see he wants to go on the wolf deprivation. He'll be good. He'll know what they're talking about better than me. So that's good to hear. So the other report I had is Tamara, Matt, myself met with the new solar farm people, and they laid out a tentative framework for selecting and awarding the mitigation money for the solar farm.
Yeah, and I had a meeting with Jeff yesterday at 3:00, and he kind of filled me in on what you guys had gone over.
I like the looks of it.
They're being more purposeful in what their plans are, I think.
Yeah, purposeful, and it gives us some clarity, sharpen that pencil up a little bit. So I think, we'll talk about that as we get to, I suppose they're going to do this. We're going to have to probably make a couple appointments. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't think I got anything else. Was very important. You got anything, Jeff?
No, just week or so ago, attended the CREA meeting, and part of the discussion is due structure and stuff. Part of our commitment to it is because of the first SIP agreement to sign for a wind project, dedicated part of that to that. But CREA is always, like any entity, is looking for sustainable funds, and so they will be looking at changes in due structure and stuff. But we're getting a committee put together on that. As far as the NEAC and the last meeting to appoint Brandon and Ben, I forward that information to Ken, and he's going to put it on the agenda for the first meeting, which is the first Thursday in January.
I think I'll add the part about the neighborhood center. Neighborhood center, I'm on that board. That was one of the representatives from the commission that's on the neighborhood center. So they had asked me if they're going to get some cement parking stops for their parking lot, so that people don't drive into the front of the building. So they had asked me if it might be possible if the county could put those in. I told them to put it in writing. I passed it on to Matt. I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not with them. There's not very many. But in case you see the county out there working at the neighborhood center, you'll know what's going on. It's just they're a nonprofit, a lot of volunteers. So.
Our public works and facilities say it's a matter of, if there's not too many of a half-hour donation, just to go through and pound those in. And so they're ready to do it. We just received the information from Dave Sykes as far as the contact information. So we're just going to reach out and confirm that and let him take care of that very quickly.
So David, bringing up the neighborhood center reminded me, we had tentatively approved the senior center here getting, ARPA money and stuff. They've been contacted, responded. I guess where are we at on that process?
Kevin, provide any highlights?
Numerous times. The Hefner one?
No, the Irrigan one.
Oh, the Irrigan one. I'm sorry.
I know that they had submitted a proposal and we
approved.
Yes.
We'll get to the bottom of that and we'll let you know. I I'm at a little bit of a loss, and we'll get that taken care of if it hasn't. But my apologies, I don't have a quick answer to that.
Okay.
I believe the TAM was used the case for the Hepner Center. So just making sure they have the paperwork enrolled to qualify.
Yeah.
In order to qualify for that.
We'll get an update and let you know.
So, thanks.
Sorry, I don't have that right at the moment.
Not a problem.
Okay, I think that takes care of all our business for today. Any other things? Okay. Knowing here anything else, we will adjourn this meeting and sign documents. Thank you all for coming.